Good morning. It's a blessing to be with you, and we are long overdue. We appreciate very much your prayers for us. I'm trying to find a place here. No, I'll put it up here, or I might forget it if I don't. Brought along some prayer cards. Are there there are pictures with our names, so you remember to pray for all of us individually as well, and they serve as bookmarks. So Lord willing, I'll get them back on the table there, and you can pick them up. We have lots of them, have more than just these, so Lord willing, I'll stick that up there so I remember to put them back there. And then also, we have a little sign-up sheet where if you'd like to receive our prayer letter from the Independent Board for Presbyterian Foreign Missions, which comes out about four times a year, Lord willing, then that can help you, you know, having one. You might see them on the bulletin board, or maybe Pastor puts them out on the table, but that way it can come straight to your mailbox, and we can keep in touch, too. So if you'd like to sign up with your email address, prayer address, or phone number, or whatever, and I'll stick that out there somewhere, too, Lord willing. As I said, we're long overdue. We appreciate the years of prayer for us, those of you who have known us through the prayer letters or Pastor Elmer or some other way. And we are very thankful for your prayers, because we know that as we labor for the Lord, wherever we are, it's only as the Lord works through His Word and His Holy Spirit in the hearts of the hearers and people that His church is going to prosper and increase and be built the way He would have it to be. So I'm going to ask you to turn, please, for a short scripture reading first to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, please. And then we'll go to John chapter 17, which is where my text is this morning. I should say, not only thank you for your prayers, but we're very thankful to the Lord for the support of your church as well, in other ways. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. Ephesians 4, I'll read from verse 7 through verse 16. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. And now to John 17, please. My text is in verse 17. I'd like to read for the moment from verse 14 to 20. So John chapter 17, 14 to 20. I have given them thy word. We're in the middle of our Lord Jesus Christ's high priestly prayer here. John 17, 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank Thee for this precious gift and wonderful revelation that You have given to us in Your holy and blessed Word. And Father, as we contemplate this text that we will be looking at here in the middle of this glorious prayer that You have provided for us to meditate upon, we pray that Thou wouldst, by Thy life-giving Spirit, Lord, sanctify us. Even do what the text is speaking of, Lord, that by Thy truth Thou wouldst sanctify us. Lord, we pray that You would guide my words and that You would direct the meditations of our hearts together, and Lord, that we may be caught up to heaven and rejoice in Thee, and Lord, be transformed from glory to glory, made more into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray for Thy holy wisdom, and we pray that Thou wouldst enable us to count our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, and that Thou wouldst enable us to live in a more wonderful way, Lord, to Thy glory, whatever days You give us in the rest of our lives here on earth, from the youngest to the oldest, we pray. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. My text is John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How may we grow in sanctification? That's the question that I put to you this morning. How may we grow in sanctification? What means does God use to make us more like Christ? As Christians, that should be our wonderful and glorious goal, that we would be more like Christ, even while we're here on earth, so that we may, through the work of the Holy Spirit and the touch of the Holy Spirit and His Word living in and through us, reflect the glory of God and reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As He says, you know, let your light so shine before men that they may see your light, see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, how do we grow? And also, in heaven we're going to be perfect, so the sooner we get to perfection, the better, right? I mean, we're not going to get to perfection in this world, but at least we know there is a progressive sanctification where God's purpose, His plan, His predestination involves making us more like Christ as we grow and mature as Christians. And He's saved us for this. So what does He use to do that? Where should men be, furthermore? Where should men, your neighbors, your friends, your loved ones, and so on, be when God calls us, when God calls men to hear His word, to meet with Him, to worship Him and hear His word? Where should men be? We need to grow as Christians. We need to grow as Christians. As we see a little baby that's born, right? Lord's given us, blessed us with 8 in our family, and it is a wonderful blessing when He gives children, and children to Christians too, in the church, and we have the opportunity to disciple them, to teach them of Christ, and lead them, and then others that come in, perhaps with the visitors, or in one way or another, are touched by the church, and able to be spoken to about Christ. It's a wonderful opportunity and blessing. We all need to grow as Christians. If there's a baby and the baby is not growing, is not becoming heavier, no, the doctors get very concerned, the parents, if they're not growing in stature, we would all be very concerned. Well, likewise, as Christians, we ought to be growing. We ought to be maturing and becoming more like Christ. We need, therefore, to receive. We need to receive the preaching of the Word of God. And if we think about missionaries like us, foreign missionaries to a different country, I grew up in New Jersey. I haven't been here that much. It's one of the reasons why we haven't got here sooner. But since when I was 27 years old and went to Kansas City, I believe around that time, I haven't been back for a very long time. This is one of the longest periods, which is about 3 months that we're here in New Jersey. But praise the Lord, you're finally able to come here and visit Manasquan. I do actually very little of North Jersey this trip. I think I've been in North Jersey, although this might be more central, but more during this trip than ever before in my life, being from South Jersey. Well, we need to receive the preaching of the Word of God. And this is a glorious gift that has come to us. The Word of God is God's gift to us. It is precious. And it is what He uses first to bring us to the knowledge of Jesus as our Savior and to give us faith, but also to build us up and edify His church and enable us to grow in Christ. And it is only ours, it is only before us, precious as it is, because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, because God ordained that He would send His Son. In fact, in the Old Testament, right, all the saints and prophets that God used, like Moses, to give His word to His people, did so, the Spirit of Christ speaking through them, because God had His plan that He was going to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to do the redeeming work that we needed for our salvation. So because of that, He gave His word to His people Israel, and He's given His word to us. And we have it to not only read, but to hear preached. There is something special about hearing things. When you hear an audio or you see a video, and if I watch a video and there's somebody talking, you know, and there's no sound, it's really strange, right? You immediately want to know what they're saying and turn up the volume to have an idea of what the whole video is about. Matter of fact, it was interesting to me. This occurs I kind of thought when these videos started to become popular on the internet that the video would be heavier than the audio, but it seems like in terms of data, it's the audio that takes up more space or megabytes or whatever it is than even the video. So maybe that's part of God's way of indicating that it's more important. I don't know. What we hear than what we see. We know the sight is very powerful, but just reading God's word is one thing. It's a glorious thing to be able to meditate upon it in your own devotions as you read God's word. But it is also another thing when God calls His servant to preach the word of God, and He says, by the foolishness of preaching, He delights to save them that believe. And that's God's ordained way. And there's something special about hearing it. Even if you're hearing the word read, that God uses in our lives. let alone expounded and applied to our life, which is so necessary. We need to receive the preaching of God's Word. Study may give us more knowledge. We can study God's Word and grow in knowledge about this and that and what happened here and there and different things that we add to our knowledge. But knowledge is not everything we need. Knowledge is not everything we need. And my main point today is that God uses the exposition and preaching of His Word. God uses the exposition and preaching of His Word to sanctify His disciples, to transform the hearers. And we need to ask Him to do that. We need to ask Him to transform the hearers as the Word of God is preached. A little while ago I started to say this, I think I didn't finish. But that's the reason why we send forth missionaries, right? Because we believe that God will use His Word and the gospel as it is preached to save souls. Otherwise, there'd be no point, or to edify the church and build up the church and bring others to Christ. And, of course, Christ commands us to preach the gospel unto every creature. And we're fulfilling that. But His purpose is to transform the hearers. And He uses the exposition and preaching of His Word to do that. So here we read in our text, "Sanctify them through thy truth." And first, it is the will of God to transform His people by means of the preaching of His Word. This is God's will. He is going to do this. We understand that this is His plan. So we as the church, we're not charged with something that is a battle plan that might fail. No, we should be encouraged. Of all people, the Calvinists and the ones that believe in the sovereignty of God should be the most missionary-minded, should be the most courageous to give the gospel to our neighbors and everyone around that we can, because we know God will use it for His glory. God will honor Himself, even it being a savor of death unto death to those that will perish, but of life unto life to those that will be saved and be with us in heaven forever. So we know we're on the winning side. We know Christ's battle is going to prosper. We should be encouraged to do the work of spreading the word. And we read, "Sanctify them." This is, remember, this is Jesus' prayer. He is praying and He's asking His Father to sanctify His people, to sanctify His apostles. And we read at the end of the scripture reading, verse 20 here, wasn't just praying for His apostles, His disciples, but also for all those which shall believe on Me through their word. That's us. So Jesus in this prayer was praying for us because we have believed through the testimony of the apostles in the New Testament, as your pastor has given voice to it, as the Lord has used the Word of God and brought it to your heart and soul. This is the will of Christ, then, that God would use His Word, which is truth, to sanctify us. And Jesus, it was so much His will that He gave Himself the perfect sacrifice for sinners as our great high priest. Correct? He came, He died on the cross, and 3 days later rose from the dead. Why did He do that? Because He died for our sins in order to save us from sin. And He did this in order that He could send forth His Word and His Spirit and regenerate us. He was our priest. He is our high priest. Not only did He give His blood on the cross and die for our sins as the sacrifice that paid the penalty for our sins, but also He intercedes for us in heaven, right? He's praying as the Word goes forth in the world. And it's through His Spirit working in us, all as His church, that the Word is not only going forth verbally, the Word of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, but also the love that we show to others. And they see His sanctifying work in His people, and God also uses that, like we mentioned with Matthew 5:16. You know, People see the good works of the believers and glorify God in heaven. This is God's will. This is Christ's will. He would come, give that perfect sacrifice, rise from the dead, send forth His Holy Spirit, build up His church, and fill us and use us as testimony to save others. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, we read, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." Not only does He want people to be saved, or desire, and He's doing that, but also He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be sanctified. And so when He prays, "Sanctify them through Thy truth," He's praying completely in line with what Paul says later, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification, believers." 1 Corinthians 1:21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." We do not simply need to learn more of God. We need to be transformed. I love that hymn. You know, "More about Jesus would I learn," and we do want to learn much more. However, we need more than just to learn. We need power. We need to be transformed. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus, and to fill us and give us the courage we need, give us the wisdom to know when to speak, when not to speak, and what to speak, and how to do, and power to live in holiness. We need to put the Word into practice in our lives. And so we need this sanctifying and filling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, this is how it comes, right? Through the preaching of the Word, through the meditating on God's Word and the work of the Spirit who uses His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? And how can we grow in faith? It's as we hear the Word of God. We need to grow in faith. How can we do good works or more good works? It's as we grow in faith. Everything comes from faith in the true Christian life. We need to put the Word into practice. So we need the Word of God so we may grow in faith, so we may grow in good works, in service to God, conformity to His law and His will. So, you should desire the Word in order to grow. You should desire the Word in order to grow. As newborn babes, says Peter, desire the sincere milk of the Word. You know, if we have a child and the child doesn't want to eat, of course that would greatly concern us, right? Likewise, as Christians, we're going to have an appetite for the Word of God. We should be present in worship, because in worship, one of the ordinances, one of the things that He has appointed for worship, one of the most important, is the preaching of the Word of God. And so it is important that we, and that you, to speak to others about the necessity of being present in worship. Think about how it's offensive to God also. All these people in Manasquan that are not at worship today. I mean, I suppose they're at other places and so on. But God is Almighty God that keeps them alive, that feeds them and gives them the things they need, and the water that they that's good enough for them to live and so on. And yet they don't desire to worship Him. There's something very wrong there, and surely it's offensive to God. And people need to realize that they ought to be present in worship to hear what God has to say to them, which the preacher has prepared and so on through the work of the Lord in him. God does this work of salvation, and He does it when we gather together in worship, and a part of that is hearing His Word. You know, as you likely know, salvation, you know, consists of justification, and you know, through faith we believe in the gospel and we're pardoned and we're received by God and accepted by Him as righteous in His holy sight. But also sanctification, where we're being made more like Christ, and eventually then glorification. Well, God does all this. Glorification is when we're changed, we're just like Christ then in heaven. This is all part of God's salvation. God does these things, and he uses his word to bring us to justification, sanctification especially. Secondly, he uses the exposition, which is the proclamation and application of what he has put in the scriptures, in the Bible. He speaks in our text of thy word, thy truth. This is the exposition of the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, the preachers proclaiming the truth and applying them to our life that he then uses to sanctify us. The Bible is not the simplest book in all the world. It is a clear book, and those things which it is necessary to believe for salvation are simple, but it is easy to fall into errors, and avoiding errors requires preparation and effort. Knowledge, study, which comes through the study of the Word and the preaching of the Word. Of course, your minister studies the Word and knows the right way to interpret it. And so, on that basis, preaches it in this pulpit. God calls men to the ministry of the gospel. And even calls them in the scripture, right, men of God. A man of God. God does have a special call for some to become pastors or preachers of the Word of God or missionaries, missionary pastors, or, whatever his situation is. As we read in Ephesians 4:12, the previous verse says, Christ gave pastors and teachers. And he gives the reason in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is God's purpose, to use his word for these things, and his word applied. The pastor also, in conversation, speaks to you about different things and visits. This is how he builds up the body of Christ, the Lord. Pastors are responsible to interpret correctly the word of God and to shepherd. Christians, therefore, if that's the responsibility of men that God calls into the ministry and provides for the growth of his church and the salvation and the edification of his church, then Christians are responsible to listen. Christians are responsible to be here and hear the word preached, that would be accomplished, because your pastor could preach here, but if there's only half the congregation, then only they're going to have the benefit of that preaching. Or, you know, back in the time of the Puritans and so on, a lot of times the parish was for the whole town, you know. So if only half the town was there, then the other half would miss the blessing that God would do or ordain through the preaching of his word. Christians are responsible to listen and to receive the word and to obey the word of God. God uses his word. Thirdly, the worship service is for meeting with God. And we should always have that, we should keep that in mind, right? It's not coming here to simply hear a preacher. Or to sing with the fellow Christians and so on. No, we're here to meet with God. And we're here to worship him. Especially so that he may sanctify us as we meet with him. And as he speaks to us in the Word. That he may sanctify us through his Word. So the worship service is for meeting with God. As Christ said, prayed, sanctify them through thy Word. Thy Word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth, excuse me. Thy Word is truth. His Word is the truth which God uses to sanctify us. The truth is a principal part of true worship. As a matter of fact, that's one reason we love to sing the Psalms, and also as the hymns are sung or written and incorporated into a hymn book, the people responsible and the elders of the church particularly are responsible to see that these words that are being used in the hymns are truthful words, are accurate with regards to the scripture. So we're not going to just sing any hymn that might have, or verses that might have things that are not reflecting the truth of the scripture or contradict the scripture. We can't assume that every hymn is actually correct. So there needs to be a carefulness in what we sing as well. The second commandment, I'm not going to recite the whole thing, but it does tell us that God does not accept all worship. He tells us to not make unto us any graven image. He does not want to be worshipped that way. He does not accept all worship. He demands conformity to His word and His truth. So there may be people right now in churches all over our country, sad to say, thinking they're worshiping God, but they are really not worshiping God because there's not truth in that church. The truth is not being preached. The truth is not being sung. They themselves do not have the truth in their heart. They haven't looked to Christ as Savior according to the Scripture. They have other hopes for salvation or for being well or whatever it may be. God does not accept all worship. He demands conformity to the truth, and the truth is in His Word. And the first commandment also says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We have to recognize Him as the true and living God. If we don't, I think the pastor was saying a little while ago, I think it was down perhaps in Sabbath school, that if we do not recognize His God as the true and living God and the only one, Jesus Christ His Son, then we are not obeying that, we are disobeying that first commandment, and our worship as well is sin. Your Lord has things to say to you. Your Lord has things to say to you. And Jesus, if you're a Christian, believer, Jesus is your Lord. And He wants to speak to you through His Word. He wants to transform us using His Word. It is more important that you attend upon biblical worship than for you to personally study the Word. And that may sound really strange, but I believe in some sense it is true. It is more important that you attend upon biblical worship than for you to study the Word. Now, we commend the Berean, or Paul commended the Berean, Luke or whoever it was, in Acts, commended the Bereans for checking everything the pastor said, or the preacher, which was the Apostle Paul, in the Word. They were more noble than the Thessalonians, than the Scriptures. They would consider what the Apostle Paul said, and that was an apostle, and check everything by the Word, and they are commended. And that is very important. We're not saying that personal study is not important. It is very important. But God especially uses the foolishness of preaching to save and to sanctify them that believe. So it's very important that we be under the preaching of the Word. Every pastor should be a man who walks in the fear of the Lord, and God lifts up and calls His servants to use them for the edification of His church. So we need to be worshiping. Also, we could be at home studying the Word and growing in knowledge and understanding. Of course, we pray and we have our own personal worship. We ought to have our family worship as well. But God would have us to also congregate together as much as possible when it's possible. Some may be in the hospital or otherwise ill and not able to come. I understand those special situations. But we ought to be present because there's a dynamic of worship that God uses, and of the preaching of His Word to edify His church. It is the Spirit of God who makes our faith to grow, and He uses those. As we read in Ephesians, He's called men to be pastors and teachers, and then, are we to neglect that ordinance and not take advantage of hearing then when His servants have done the work necessary for our sanctification? We're going to be the ones that miss out. Right? If someone doesn't observe the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, one day in seven doesn't set aside for honoring and worshiping the Lord, who misses out? God? No, we're the ones that miss out if we don't remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Same way with the worship and the word and all these things. Furthermore, your neighbors, and there I include as well friends, loved ones, should be present for worship so that they may receive the work of sanctification through the exposition. And this is something you can explain to them. You know, you ought to come and hear the word of God. It's for your good that you might come to the knowledge of Christ and know God and be with him in heaven forever. If he chooses in his mercy to convert your soul through the preaching of the word, that's what he will use. And you ought to be there to worship the God that gives you all the things that you enjoy, all the things that are good. Every good and that perfect gift comes from the Father, our Heavenly Father, who made us. So they should be present. Your neighbors, friends, loved ones should be present for worship. Maybe not here if they live far away, in another place where the word is faithfully preached and Christ is faithfully worshipped, according to the scriptures, so that they may receive the work of sanctification through the exposition and preaching of his word. As I already mentioned, faith comes by hearing. In this context, let's just think a moment on this point. What God gives us, what God gives to you, is more important than what you give to him. Now, many people seem to have the idea that by coming to worship, they're going to give something to God. Oh yes, we give him glory and praise, but we're not adding anything to God. We come to worship, we receive from God. So it goes with what I was saying a little bit ago, that you know, we miss out if we're not present in worship to our one true and living God. What he gives us is more important than what we give to God. We should try to keep that in mind. Come to give attention and be renewed. Come to grow. Motivate others to attend upon the worship of God, during which he may save them and sanctify them. The times are getting tough, right? Things are getting tougher. Perhaps the Lord will open hearts and use things that happen in the next couple years to cause people to be a little bit more open to an invitation from you to come and hear the word of God, to come and worship the true and living God. Let's think about that. Motivate others as much as we can to attend upon the worship of God, during which he may save them and sanctify them. As Acts 20 verse 28 says, take heed, Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Now how do they feed the church of God? How are the overseers, the pastors and elders, to feed the church of God? When they preach the word of God, when they visit with the people and read the word of God and apply it in conversation, the overseers, the elders, are to feed the church of God, and this is what the pulpit is for. It's feeding. It's a banquet. It's a meal. And people that are not here do not receive that blessing and that nourishment and food that they need, the spiritual work of Christ's Holy Spirit that he will give and use as the word of God is preached according to his perfect sovereign will. And we should pray so that God may work renewal and transformation in the congregation. Some of you may remember, maybe your pastor mentioned it sometime, or you read it, how Spurgeon would have people praying in the basement as he preached. And Charles Spurgeon in England. Prayer is very important, and before we come to worship God, we should be praying. We should be praying in our family devotions that God would use, and in our personal devotions, that God would use the preaching of his word when we gather together as a congregation. Pray for the visitors. I know when I was a young person, if I had a friend that I had invited or something to church with me, and he was next to me, I was like all the more awake or paying attention. I mean, this was before I grew very much as a Christian, but I was concerned for that person. And it, and if you, when you pray for the other, that also, well, it's very important because God hears the prayer and he's going to do the work. But we should pray so that God may work renewal and transformation in the others that are going to be present in the congregation. That he would sanctify, fortify, and guide us, of course, as well as everyone else. The goal is not simply to know more. Pray for God's sanctification of us. We need to be changed. I hope there's nobody here that wants to stay the same. We all should want to be changed, be more like Christ, and be prepared for heaven like we ought to be, and to be able, even prepared for the next years of our lives or days or whatever the Lord gives us, to do a better job of serving Christ. We all need to be changed, and this is the dynamic of worship. We gather together in hope. In hope that God's going to do something as we meet with him. That God's going to bless us. We speak with God in prayer, and he speaks to us in his word. And prayer strengthens this hope that as we gather together, we will be blessed. As we gather and worship God. One person in the congregation may be strengthened, and another not. The difference could be prayer. And, of course, God's will. But many times when he's going to do something, he moves us to prayer first. The difference could be prayer and the preparation for worship. So, to wrap it up, God uses the exposition of his word and the preaching of his word to sanctify his disciples. That's his purpose. That's his will. As we read, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The center of worship is God. It is not you. It's not me. It's not any of us. The center of worship is God, and it ought to be God. The most important thing is what God does. When we gather together, the most important thing is what God does as we meet. Because we're meeting with him, and we're meeting before him, and we're worshiping before him. Yes, it's important that we have a heart, and as Pastor read a little while ago from Romans 2, and I love that at the end of the chapter where he speaks of he that is a true Jew is not the one that is outwardly, but internally, right? Who has a heart for the things of God is the true Jew. Let me read it. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, may have the sign, there may be people baptized, right? But it's not just everybody that's baptized that's a Christian, baptized with water. We have to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. What we need is to be baptized in our hearts, to be circumcised and washed in our hearts, and be a new man, a new creature that loves God. Not perfectly, but we begin to love him more and more, and we do love him more and more as we're sanctified and grow as Christians. That's the work of God. The most important thing is what God does in our hearts as we meet with him. What difference is there between a worship service and a football game? Both are experiences in which one can feel elevated, enthused, right? We can cheer. We can rejoice in different ways. God makes the difference. We are meeting with God right now. We are meeting with our Savior, our Lord. We are worshiping him. And he uses the worship, he uses the preaching so that we may grow as Christians. So that people will be saved through the foolishness of preaching, as he calls it. God makes the difference. He gave his son, and he saves. He sanctifies. So ask God to transform you when you are getting ready to come to worship. Maybe when even you are in worship. Ask him to transform you in the preaching of his word. Or as your pastor prays before the preaching, that he would use this in your heart. Ask him to sanctify others. Pray for the preacher ahead of time and during, and pray for the sermon. Pray that Christ would also supply and raise up faithful preachers, both for Manasquan, for New Jersey, for the United States, and for the world, to send out the word to all the places where he would have it to go. Pray that God would raise up the Christ, as I was preaching last week, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He's got to do the sending. We don't want more false prophets. We've got enough of those. We want Christ to send forth godly preachers that will love his word, preach the truth, and his church needs more pastors of the word of God and ministers and missionaries that will carry his word to the ends of the earth. So God uses the exposition and preaching of his word to sanctify his disciples. Ask him to transform the hearers, to transform us and others according to his perfect will. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you do use your word to build your church. You've said in your, when you were on earth, Lord, you said to your disciples, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And you are building your church, Father. We know you are doing that, and we know you are sending forth the word, and we know you are working according to your perfect will, and we rejoice in this. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to transform us and make us more like Christ through the preaching of your word. We pray that you would help us. It is difficult. We need your work in the hearts of those that might hear an invitation from our lips to come to worship you, or an invitation to come and have a visit at our home, or whatever it may be. We ask thee to open hearts that they might be more willing to even consider the claims of your word and what you have to say to them in the word. And Lord, that there would be some that would respond and be desirous to come and hear the preaching of the word, and that you would build your church and bring families that would raise their children for Christ, young children, Lord, if it please thee, and that you would even bless the work here and continue to minister and build your church through the preaching of your word in this place, Lord, that we all may rejoice and continue to rejoice in what you're doing. We thank you for what you have done and you are doing in every place, and especially that you caused your word to reach our ears and our hearts and our souls by your Holy Spirit. Thank you most of all for our Lord Jesus Christ, who ordained all this and made it all possible, Lord, as he gave his life for our sins, as he died on the cross. Thank you that you provided a great Redeemer, and he shed his blood in order to be our Savior. And Lord, now you've sent forth your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would continue to sanctify us and make us more like him for your goals and purposes here on earth, and also that we might rejoice in the perfect and glorious communion of heaven together with thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.